In Luke chapter 24 and verse 1, it says, "Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared." So here's the setting: a group of women coming before daylight out down the narrow streets, dogs barking in the background, maybe the moon partially shining through the clouds. And they make their way to the place where Christ had been so hastily buried a day and a half before. Taken down from the cross on Friday afternoon, placed in a borrowed grave, and now they come expecting to give him a proper burial. The gospel writers add different details to the story. Doesn't mean one is more accurate than the other one. They are telling the story from their perspective, and when you read all the story, then you are able to piece together a more complete picture of what really happened on that weekend. Mary Magdalene is often referred to as one of those women, and rightly so. She's mentioned by name in Scripture. Very quickly, she runs to the tomb while it was yet dark. Now, I started studying here several days ago because I wanted to have a good sermon for Easter. It's just something about the whole weekend to me that's special. Had kind of a busy week. I wasn't able to put everything together that I wanted. And so I called somebody here and I said, "Can you help me prove that if there had only been one person as a sinner, Christ would have made his way to the earth and Christ would have died for that one person?" I've heard that all my life, have you? That if I had been the only person on earth, Jesus would have died just for me. And so I told this person, "Can you give me some suggestions? I'm working on my sermon for Sabbath." Now, I'm going to come back to Mary very quickly here. Do you believe if you had been the only person, Christ would have endured the agony of the cross just for you? That's really the direction that I want to go today. Probably as I look to my left and I look to the right today, each one of you believes in God, you believe in Jesus, you believe in the Bible, and you believe in the resurrection. But do you believe and have you accepted the fact that if you had been the only person on earth, Christ would have died for you? Now, unless you believe that, and unless you receive that wonderful truth, it makes no difference what I say up here today. It makes no difference any of the emphasis of this weekend. You might as well go to the Dollar General store and buy you a dozen of those marshmallow-filled eggs and just sit down and eat them. It makes no difference in your spiritual life unless you can see the resurrection as a gift just for you. Now, if you look to your left and you look to your right where you're sitting, it's probably easy to believe, yes, Jesus died for that person. Or Jesus died for the one on my left. But how about the fact that Jesus died for you? That Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. It's so easy to talk about Christ dying for other people. I know because I've been doing this soon. It will be almost, it's 40 years. But Thomas, it becomes very meaningful when I begin to think of it in the context that he died for me. Let me share some text with you quickly that will kind of build a basis here for what we're going to do as we separate for the ordinance of humility. As an individual in Revelation 3:20, Jesus gives the idea of standing at an individual person's heart's door and knocking. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man will open the door," see, that's singular, "I will come into him. I will become his Savior." Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that," what's the next word? "Whosoever." We did this one Sabbath here. We read that text, and I had you place your name in the verse. That if Jane would believe. See, Scripture is so personal. It must be received as a gift. Not only must we believe that it is a gift, but we must receive it as a gift. If I could put together the comments of our Sabbath school class today with what Emily read and a couple other details, I might be able to tie all this together so it doesn't seem like a shotgun blasting. As you walk in your spiritual journey, there will be times when it's like Jesus has run off somewhere, that he's not there. It's a common theme of almost all the Bible writers to sometimes question the presence of God. Back to the general the great controversy theme of why, okay? I see something here in the story of the crucifixion. These women here in Luke 24 come to the tomb. As you add details to the story from the other Bible writers, your mental picture of what happens begins to expand. And Mary Magdalene is one of those ladies that adds detail to the story. In John chapter 20, it says, "And very early in the morning, while it was yet dark, she comes to the sepulchre." Now listen to me. Mary Magdalene had all kinds of feelings that we will never really know the true understanding of. I believe they were all healthy and appropriate feelings. Mary Magdalene was doing everything right in her life, to my knowledge, at this time. She's looking for Christ. He's her friend. I find myself like that. Do you? I find myself wanting to be next to Christ. I get excited thinking about the second coming of Jesus. I want it to hurry up and happen. Mary Magdalene was doing what she should have been doing. she was doing it the right way, and yet she did not have the comfort at that point in her life that Jesus was close by. I relate a very special lesson in that part of the story. When things are dark in your life and your spiritual journey, and you are searching for Christ, and He's not where you think He is, don't give up. I've told you my experiences coming in here to this very building, coming up here to pray, and I just pour out my heart to God. Sometimes I take the directory and go down and pray name by name. Other times I walk down and I pray because you sit in just about the same place every week. So I pray as you sit. But when you are doing all that you know to do for God, and you are looking for God, and it's just like you just can't seem to really find Him, don't give up. Don't despair. Don't deny Him. Don't curse Him. He's closer than you think. Things are happening that you do not know how to interpret. Mary Magdalene and these women had no idea that a resurrection had taken place and it would be given to them as a gift and for their descendants and for all humanity. The resurrection is a gift to be given that precedes eternal life for all of them and for all of us. Doing what these women knew to do, they were doing it. And yet when they arrive at the tomb, the very place where Christ is expected to be, He is not there as they can see it. I pray with people often during the week. And it's a privilege to be able to pray with people and for people. And to have a faith that believes if we pray in the name of Jesus and according to His will, He hears that prayer. Here they come to the tomb. Not even thinking about a personal application. I will be receiving the gift of the resurrection as a personal gift. If I had been the only person on earth, Christ would have died for me. But the end result of all these events mixed up together is that the resurrection becomes the fundamental teaching of the Christian faith. And actually, the resurrection unites the Christian community together even better than Sunday observance does. I don't know of any Christian faith that does not support the idea of the resurrection. As you wash each other's feet today, or as you come and sit and observe, that's okay. For different reasons, some people choose not to do this, and it's okay. I want you to contemplate the fact that Jesus gives us this as a gift. But the gift must be received in order for it to be effective. When Jesus came out of that tomb and the angels were watching, He came out. He must have seen something from inside the tomb. I sat in front of the garden tomb on a Sabbath afternoon looking at the doorway. It it may not even be the actual tomb where they place Christ, but they take you there as the place. I was thinking about Jesus coming out of the tomb. He's walking from inside and he's coming out. Just a few steps, but there was plenty of time to be thinking. And in his wisdom, he knew there would be people coming, people that cared for him and loved him. And he had to meet Mary Magdalene on a personal basis, one-on-one. And she would have to come to some type of mental conclusion about him and his role now as a resurrected Savior. I want to tell you a quick story. Second grade class. One little boy in the class just seems to have difficulty getting his assignments together. It's difficult to stay seated. It's difficult for him not to talk in class. And the teacher gives the assignment for each student to get to work on a project to get up and tell the benefits of Easter. One little girl gets up and she stands before the class and she says, "Jesus died that I might live." Well, that's pretty good. It's a little generic, but that's good for a second grader. Another little boy got up and he read where that Jesus had told the people, his disciples, that he would die, but then he would rise again the third day. That's even more academic. And one by one, the students in the class came up and very nervously stood before their classmates and gave their project stories. The very last one is this boy who just never seems to really be able to get it right. And the teacher notices that he's holding a little plastic egg. Like some of you will be hunting this weekend. And the little boy just stands up and he opens up the egg. And he just holds it. And he doesn't say anything. She can tell that he's nervous. And she calls him by name and she says, "Levin, there's nothing in your egg." And he looks up and he says, "That's my story. It's empty. Just like the tomb is empty." A lot of truth in that little boy's story. Because that tomb is empty, heaven is filled today. It is a gift. The resurrection is a gift. And with that gift comes the wonderful assurance, just like our Sabbath school lesson brought out. There's another great resurrection taking place. It's promised to happen. If we die, and in the hope of our loved one's death, someday the faithful come forth from the grave. Eternal life is a gift. God wants you to have eternal life. Yes, the person on your left, the person on your right, yes. But Christ also died just for you. It's a gift.